Welcome back to Woven in the Body. Today's episode is part of our Birth Imprints mini-series, which explores those deep pre-verbal patterns we inherit and internalize at the very moment of our arrival on Earth. And whether you were born vaginally or by cesarean, in a hospital or at a home, with gentleness or birth interventions, your entry into the world carries a profound imprint that shapes how you move through life now. So this series is meant to be both informative and experiential for humanity as a whole, and especially for practitioners who support families and individuals in their healing journeys, as well as for individuals who want to uncover more about who they truly are. So if you want to explore further, we do offer more advanced training courses, including mentoring tracks and therapy services at the Flower of Life Foundation. And you can learn more under the education section at our website, which is thefloweroflifefoundation.com. So now as we step into today's story, it's important to remember that each of us carries a unique energetic blueprint. So for the participant you're going to be hearing about today, that blueprint was illuminated through her life purpose gene key number 6. At the Flower of Life, we use the gene keys, which is developed by Richard Rudd, as one way of seeing those deeper soul patterns. They're not boxes that limit people, but they're really mirrors that reveal pathways between shadow and gift. So the gene keys remind us that our wounds are not dead ends, but rather portals. They're doorways or thresholds into our highest potential. So this is why I often encourage participants and anyone curious about their own imprints to start by filling out the free profile on Richard Rudd's website, and I'll include it here in the show notes. But it uses your exact birth moment to map the energetic forces at play in the cosmos when you entered the world. And for me, as a practitioner, it offers really a window into the soul story of a person, not only through their nervous system and their life history, but also through their larger cosmic imprint that they carry. And because of the Flower of Life Foundation, we recognize that human beings are the microcosm of the macrocosm. Your body, your soul, your nervous system, they're all fractal reflections of the same universal patterns that shape the stars, that really shape the planets and the cycles of nature. So when we bring that awareness into healing work, everything begins to shift. So with that lens, let's frame her story that you're going to hear today through gene key number 6. This key represents a hidden mission to bring openness and honesty into the world. And at its shadow frequency, which is the lowest frequency, it shows up as conflict. Basically, a life that's marked by tension and inner battles. But when embraced, it transforms into the gift of diplomacy, which is the ability to bring people together and really to hold peace in the midst of difficulty. So at its highest vibration, this path unfolds into the city of peace, this profound stillness that transcends conflict altogether. And when you listen to another person's story and you witness it, it also shows how these elements are in you, how you can better carry peace or deal with inner conflict or outer tension in your life. So this gene key becomes a compass during our retreat journey that we uncovered this past June when she came to the Soul Seed Retreat. And it helped us name what her body was already carrying, which was the weight of silence, shame, and conflict in her family field. And it revealed something greater, that through her own healing, she could embody diplomacy and walk in the peacefulness that is her true essence. Before I get deeper into her actual birth story that she shared, I want to just pause for a moment and acknowledge something important. So when we highlight a single thread in someone's life, we risk reducing them to only that thread. And I don't want to do that here. This participant is a woman of many gifts much beauty, deep resilience. And the story I'm about to tell you is just one lens, one snapshot. It's a way of seeing how a profound imprint shaped her, but it is not the totality of who she is. It's those very gifts and strengths that have carried her along her journey, even in the face of pain. So her story begins with her own birth when she did her check-in at the retreat. And she shared that her mother got pregnant at the age of 17 years old, not with her, but with her sister, who was 6 years her elder. And her mother was a white woman, still very young, being 17, and she became pregnant with a black man's child. And at that point in time, and still even today, her family dealt with so much contention for these crossing cultural boundaries. And the mother herself was disowned by her family. So, in the cultural context of time, racism, ostracization, and social rejection really weighed heavily on her mother. And these were wounds that were never healed. They were just never dealt with, which is also typically the norm. Kind of trug on ahead, do whatever you have to do to get through instead of do the inner work, the inner reflection to heal some of these painful stories. So her sister, who was the first child born of the mother at age 17, was also born deaf. So she entered life marked with this difference and in a world of silence, like her sister couldn't hear. And then this participant herself was born into this family field 6 years later, a family field that was shaped in the lens that we're looking through today through shame, cultural rejection, and the quiet labor that the mother endured of survival, as well as her older sister. So the key imprints that she carried from this story are really powerful, and I want to name them here. Just so can really articulate what it is that we were dealing with. One, generational shame. Her mother's exile for choosing love across racial boundaries. So we have that in the field. Racial tension, growing up mixed race in a social climate that was hostile and unforgiving. And third, we have this inherited silence that was symbolized literally by her sister's deafness. And her family's refusal to voice the wrongs that had been done or to acknowledge the wrongs that had been done. So we have that also integrated with this participant's early caretaker role, because she took on the responsibility of all this weight far too young of an age. Nobody told her while she was developing in the womb or when she came in that these were not burdens that she had to bear. So, never was there an acknowledgement for who held the responsibility. And since a child growing in the womb of the mother experiences the world as if it's their own, she was experiencing this world of tension and judgment and silence as if this was how she needed to be. Nobody differentiated that for her. She just marinated in that field. So, this field that's thick with unspoken pain and survival patterns was what was woven inside of her gifts, like her soul's gifts, the strengths that would one day emerge as diplomacy, presence, and peacefulness, or really emerge through every moment in her life up until the point that we see her at the retreat. So, the trick is naming what are the invisible forces that help shape her, and also coupling it with how she really has been expressing these gifts all along. So before she even arrived in the world, before her body was conceived, her soul carried what I call a sacred vow. And this is the archetype of the protector, our the shield bearer, the one who steps into the field of conflict and says, I will absorb the pain so others don't have to. And it is a vow rooted really in love. And yet, it often comes at such a high cost. Because for her, it manifested as this hyper responsibility, this burden that her nervous system had to carry in silence, where she felt the need to always protect, always guard, always carry more than her share. And in this vow, her own voice and her own rest, even her own joy, became secondary. And we see this imprint ripple forward into her adult life because now she has a job, she has a family, and these weights that she carry can be seen as a burden because it hasn't been attuned to in the ways of naming what are the fields, the forces that she came into that weren't caused by her, right? So this loaded nervous system, constantly on alert. She became the caretaker, not just for others' bodies, but for their hearts. And in this ceaseless vigilance, there was little room for ease and little room for simply just being. I often describe it as like this: like her soul seems to carry a sacred vow to shield others from pain at the cost of her own voice, her own rest, and her own joy. And yet, even within this weight lies her gift, her life purpose. And through the lens of the gene key, we can see that this purpose at the time that she was born is linked to diplomacy. And this key is all about learning how to hold peace in the midst of conflict. And when we mean hold peace, we mean hold inner peace. Its shadow frequency, or the lower expression of this gift, is when you are unable to hold that sense of peace and you're sucked into the conflict that's not even your own conflict. And it tempts us to carry the weight of battles that don't belong to us. But at its gift, it transforms. It becomes the power of how to stand as an anchor in the middle of a storm, or how to bring balance where others only see division. So at the highest expression we understand with the gene keys is the city, which is a Sanskrit term that we don't really even have translation for in English. But the idea is it's the essence of archetypal energies, or essences of your soul, of your blueprint. And in her case, it was this sense of peacefulness. So getting to that is when you embody peacefulness. Peacefulness, this calm inside when there's turbulence going on around you. And that comes through presence. Presence in the current moment, when you are no longer living with your autonomic nervous system on hypervigilance because of your past narrative, or you're anticipating the future, but you're really soaking in to the very moment that's at hand and living it to its fullest. And of course, ironically, this was her intention that she showed up with when she checked in, that she really wanted, she was at a time in her life, she wanted to feel synchronicities, that she wanted to enjoy the present moment. So it's, before she even really uncovered all of this information, her intention was already deeply embedded into this gene key. So while her vow began as a survival pattern, it also points towards her soul's deeper calling that not to endlessly absorb the wounds of others, but to model peacefulness, to show what it looks like to embody harmony even in the face of conflict. And the way through was to take care of her first. Herself first. And at the retreat, what we did was we guided her through a rebirthing ritual. And this rebirthing ritual is an embodied process that allows participants to reconnect with the earliest imprints of their life story. So we set up a check-in and we explore what knowledge a person does have about their birth and kind of their family line, any pertinent information that they have, as well as carrying their own baby photo, just to kind of spark somatic memories that are woven inside and bring it out to the surface. But in addition to this, we actually set up a space that's very much like the womb with a birth tunnel. So, and we use couch cushions, we use blankets, yoga mats, pillows. But how we set it up is that she got in front of the birth canal with the pillows set up, and we spread around a bunch of blankets and pillows, and we allowed her to curl into the fetal position and enter into a womb-like state. And from there, I invited her to sense into what it felt like to be in that original environment, asking her just through simple inquiry, what was she noticing in her body? What emotions were rising as she was there lying in front of the birth tunnel? And as we're doing this inquiry process, we then start weaving in pieces of her own sharing about the fact that, her mother was 17 when she had her first child, that all the racial tension that the family went through, and how really no one had spoken about it. So I knew a lot of these dynamics that were at play simply because I've studied pre and perinatal psychology, and I understand a lot about archetypes and invisible forces that shape our beingness. So I could use this information to press her for more details into her story that she may not even remember, but that we're using it as a key to unlock doors for it to arise in her body. And for each one, what I did was I named those elements that we mentioned earlier, like the racial tension, for instance, or the burden of the silence that hadn't been healed. So we allowed each one of these elements that were big forces in her life to be represented by a person in the space. So I asked another participant, or all the participants, to be willing and available to participate in her birth process by allowing her to choose who was going to represent what archetypal force. And then these people laid on top of her body one by one, so that what had once been invisible could now be tangibly felt in her body. So let me break it down and explain a little bit more simply. While she's laying there on her side, I ask her if she would be able to select somebody in the group who would represent her sacred vow, the vow that she took on as a soul prior to her coming into the realm of Earth, this role of protector that she carried into or crossed over with. So she selected a person to lay across her, and now this person is embodying the weight of that vow. And like with family constellations or any energetic dynamic fields, the person who represents that also can feel into the energy of that in their own body. And it's a pretty wild experience, but very effective. Once she has the sacred vow like draped across her body, then I asked her to select somebody who would represent racism, who would represent the cultural hostility that her mother had to endure through the pregnancy of her first child. So then we have somebody who lays on top of her who represents racism. And then this adds an additional weight that she can feel in her own body. And two people laying on you is pretty significant, especially the second person was her husband. It was a man. So you can see here that the weight of the situation was increasing. So the field was becoming more potentized with the energy of something that had happened years prior. And this is how we're gently pulling it out of this energy field that's in her body. So then we move forward, and I ask her to name a third person. And this person would represent shame. Really, the shame that her mother carried from being disowned, the shame that her mother felt for being told you've done the wrong thing or you've dirtied yourself somehow. I mean, we've all heard what it's like to be in the field of racial prejudice. It is not only ignorant, but incredibly dark. So here she is. She names this third person who represents shame, and then they lie their body on top. So now we have three human beings draped across her body, and the heaviness increases. And lastly, we get to the fourth person, and I ask her to select a person that represents silence. Really, the silence that her sister endured, being born into a world that she could not hear, as well as the family's refusal to speak the truth or really like speak out that this was wrong or this wasn't right or, numerous of rage tactics, right? But how they remain quiet and unvoiced wrongs, remaining quiet in unvoiced wrongs. So with this final body that's added onto the field, the pressure was profound. It was really like a tipping point that as she lay there, she could feel in her tissues what she had been unconsciously holding for her lifetime. And now these layers of her sacred vow, the racism, the shame, and the silence, these four things are pressing her down into the ground, suffocating her, really. And then came the second part of the ritual. So I invited her to peel these layers away one by one in whatever order her body chose. So she began asking people to remove themselves in the order that she chose. And this is a very important piece of symbolically allowing her to reclaim space with each release. So as a person is removing themselves, you can feel in the somatic energy like, oh, what a reprieve, like an exhale. And finally, the last one she chose to remove, which was also very synchronous, was the sacred vow. And this was the breakthrough moment. She realized, this last thing holding her down was her sacred vow. But she didn't have to remove the sacred vow. She didn't have to sacrifice her body and soul. But she could actually live it in a new way. That she could honor the sacred vow that she took and choose to embody this peace, our presence, and diplomacy without carrying the crushing weight of everyone else's burdens. So, in that moment, the vow that she had held transformed from a survival strategy into a sacred gift. And she could set it down without betrayal. She could carry it forward as her true essence, like her light, her sovereignty, and her wholeness. So, one of the most powerful parts of this process was really reframing the vow itself. Because here's the truth: vows are sacred. But when they are inherited through trauma, through silence, through shame, they become distorted. And the original vow of the soul is never, ever about self-erasure. It is not about sacrificing your voice or your rest or your joy. The true vow is always aligned with presence. And it is about standing rooted in connection with your own soul so that your service to others just flows naturally. It's not a burden. Doesn't deplete you. So it's like shifting her awareness. Nothing changed physically. It was simply what awareness she carried in the attunement of consciousness. So she came face to face with this distortion. And the weight of her vow had become unbearable because it was fused with layers of racism, shame, and silence that she never brought in. Those weren't part of the vow. That was just the conditional forces that she carried vow into, and they imprinted upon her own purity. So once she could name this, name the aspects that got put on her, she could peel them away. She could finally experience her vow in its purest form. And this is what healing looks like. It's repatterning the imprint from burden into balance. And it aligned perfectly with her retreat intention, which was to feel the synchronicity of the present moment and live in the power of presence. So she had no idea how that was going to show up in the unfolding of the retreat. And it was a shock, you know, a shock to her system to feel the weight of all this that she had carried. But releasing the weight allowed her to stand in that synchronicity, not as someone crushed by responsibility, but as someone anchored in peace. And she could see that she can still serve others from that place of rootedness rather than from a place of exhaustion. She could service others from peacefulness rather than through the lens of pressure. So this is the gift of her gene key at work, and the shift from being drawn into conflict to becoming a living example of diplomacy and peace. It was so beautiful just to witness all of this when we were in this journey together.
There's a lot, I feel like, in terms of like everything that happened and then what I take away and the processing that I still have to do, that I get to do. It always takes me a long time to process and integrate. But one of the big things I noticed yesterday before like entering the birth canal and starting that journey when everybody had when all of the things were lifted and the guilt and the weight of it all started to lighten and lessen, I felt the physical release, I guess pretty quickly, but then I had to like take some extra time to make sure that I wasn't carrying it with me, because I could still feel it. It was still there. And I knew I didn't want to bring that into or on the rest of my journey. So I think that's a pattern of just carrying and carrying and carrying and getting used to the weight, you know, and just doing it anyway, going forth anyway, putting one foot in front of the other because you have to, but even without the weight, like the imprint of it is still there. So I just felt like I needed to be free of that as well. Like, and not that it doesn't exist. But to think of it and feel it more like a shadow or a memory or something that was, not something that is like always has to be or that it's part of me. And also, I could not help but think of my own children, and I know that we were reminded many times that this was about our own journey, but it's hard to learn something so big and so important and not want to like immediately share that with people, especially the ones that you birthed. I don't want anybody else to ever carry any baggage, like especially mine. So the guilt and the shame and the racism and all of the things that were released, I just wanted to make sure that I didn't I don't want my kids to carry any of my stuff. And I think that my work going forward includes thinking about the question of, like, my voice and what it is and what it's to be used for and what it can say and who gets to hear it. Like, who gets to hear it? The real voice, and not the story, like, not the imprints, not everything that I've left behind. Like, what is it without? And to be seen. In a way that is authentic and true and not what I make up as other people's expectations.
So now we want to close the story, and I just want to widen the lens for a moment, because while this retreat experience was unique to her, many of us carry similar vows. Some of you listening may have been born into silence, where no one spoke the truth about really the dynamics and the energetic field of the relationships going on around you. Others may have inherited shame or stories that told you there was something wrong with you before you even began. Or still, others may have entered into conflict with families marked by tension, separation, or struggle. And in all these conditions, many of us made vows, not consciously, but deep in the body, before words were even available. Vows like, I will keep the peace, or I will never need too much, or I will carry the weight so others don't have to. So I want to invite you into a moment of reflection, just allowing you to imagine your own birth tunnel. Just bringing this into your mind's eye, just seeing, maybe it doesn't have to be an actual vagina. It can be a simple tunnel, a kid's tunnel that you have, or a slide, you know, a slide tunnel that you've seen at a park. But just bring into your mind the vision of a tunnel. And just imagine now what invisible forces might have been pressing in on you. Whose voices and whose fears, whose silence shaped the atmosphere that you first entered? And then ask yourself gently, what vows did I take on in that environment? Which ones are truly mine? And which ones are inherited burdens that I no longer need to carry? Most importantly, where can I begin to lay those burdens down? Not as betrayal, but as a return to presence. Because presence is your birthright. It's the place where your true vow, your soul's vow, lives. And from presence, you can serve, you can love, you can create without erasing yourself in the process. So as we close today's episode, let's just gather the threads we've been weaving. We touched on the generational shame carried by a young mother disowned for her choices, and the racial tension of a society that rejected her family. Also, the silence that left wounds unnamed, and the sacred vow that formed in the womb, promising to protect others even at the cost of oneself. So the retreat process, we saw how these vows can be repatterned, not abandoned, but reclaimed, reframed, when the weight of inherited burdens is released. What remains is presence. And from presence, true healing can unfold. And this is the essence of Jinki 6, the gift of diplomacy, the ability to hold peace in the midst of conflict, and its highest expression, peacefulness, which is a calm that's so deep it transforms relationships simply by being. So I want to leave you with this encouragement. Your presence is enough. And when you return to yourself again and again, you are creating peace, not only for your own life, but for the collective. And if it feels good, let's close just now with a simple breath together. Just inhale gently through your nose and feel your body expand. And exhale slowly through your mouth, letting the weight of the day soften. And again, just inhaling presence and exhaling release. One more time. Inhale what is true for you and exhale what no longer belongs. And carry this peace forward with you. This peace is already woven within. Enjoy and see you next time.